Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley the week after the New York Jets loss and the week of the game in Baltimore against the Baltimore Ravens, where the Jaguars took a trip to last year. And how you doing tonight, Gus?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. It's been a beautiful week in Jacksonville. Weather's fantastic. Starting to cool down a little bit. It's a good thing.
It is. You know, the week of practice, I think, I think the guys could feel the temperature difference and just to be out there, but a great couple days.
Let's go back a little bit to the New York Jets game, because a lot of great opportunities to, I guess, exemplify where you need to be as a football team to kind of get over that hump to get a win. And any time, and I don't know what the percentages are, maybe you know these off the top of your head, but that is the single most determining factor in a football game is turnover differential. When you come out of a game minus four, chances are you're not going to win.
Yeah, it's extremely tough when you have that many turnovers. Not saying that it can't be done, but your percentages drop. And, to have four like we did, we had the fumble in the red zone. The defense come out, stopped them in three and out. So they didn't get any points off that. But the other one early in the game, they end up getting 7 points off of, and sometimes that's a big difference, and it was a difference in the game, those turnovers.
Yeah, and the first one was the interception that Blake was trying to squeeze it in on a quick slant, and Darrell Reeves makes a nice play, pops the ball up in the air. To me, those things happen. The last interception that Blake had, to just focus in on Blake, lived to play another down.
Yeah, know the situation, the game, and – I think with Blake, as you're seeing him, is he likes to extend the plays, and he can make plays off of extending plays. And in that case, it was just a decision that, hey, look at that, look at where you are, throw it out of bounds, let's live the fight again, take another play, and let's go back to work.
Yeah, and then he had the sack cause fumble, escapes up into the middle of the pocket, kind of parallels the line of scrimmage. And if you do that as a quarterback, there's got to be a clock ticking.
Yeah, just awareness. You know, he did it in the Buffalo game and threw a touchdown to Hearns. You know, he moved out of the pocket and got to the left. But, yeah, having that awareness and, what's available to get to. And, again, in the red zone, the ability for us as a team, the critical decisions, it's heightened everywhere on the field. But those, when you have an opportunity to score points, and because of a turnover you get no points, that can affect it.
We talked a little bit about this earlier. When you're trying to coach them up, I'm talking about Blake, do you have to be cautious somewhat? Because you don't want to take away what makes him special at times, in that he can make things happen on the run, throwing from the run, because he's got very good accuracy thrown on the run. He's got the ability to extend the play. And as a coach, you don't want to overcoach to the point to where he gets hesitant to do any of that, right?
Right. I don't think it's difficult because of who he is. You just talk to him, and say, hey, we love this part of it. And we talked about way back when that we wanted a quarterback that had no fear but made good decisions. So it's just about, hey, have an idea where we're at, time frame of the game, the situation we're in, and use your good judgment, and then play ball. And, he's well aware of it. It's not like he wants to go out there and do that. He's trying to make things happen, and so many times we applaud for him by doing it, and at times it comes back. But overall, pleased with this progress, pleased the direction he's going, and I think you'll see that decision-making, that awareness will improve with each opportunity.
When you say you just talk to him, how nice is it having, because from – my standpoint, which I'm not in the mix, but from my standpoint, you talk to Blake and you listen to his words, press conferences, interviews, everything else. He just seems to be a guy that gets it, that understands the game and the big picture of a game, whereas a lot of young players, which he still is a young player, have a hard time kind of grasping an understanding of things and where they are.
Right. Yeah, that's not Blake. Blake, it doesn't take much. The situation we talked about today, we had a situation out in the practice field about, hey, just keep it be ball aware now, high and tight. I know you have some freedom there, but it doesn't allow for, you know, freedom doesn't mean not having a conscience of how to hold on to the ball and when you escape out of the pocket. And he did that. We saw times, we showed it in film today, where he had it high and tight, double in trouble. So he has that mindset. But just to bring that awareness again in the red zone area, how important it is, and you say a couple words to him, and you can tell that right away he immediately has
it. Clicks.
Yeah, it clicks.
Defensively for you guys in the first half, a couple mistakes that you'd like to have back. I mean, you had an offsides penalty. I think it was on a 3rd and 7, allowed the Jets to eventually convert it on a 4th down. They had a kicker issue, which made them go for it. And they had a 3rd and 12 screen, middle screen, that was able to convert. But in the second half, when you needed the ball back, the defense kept giving the ball back to the offense. I thought that was impressive.
It was. I think in the first half, it was really field position battle. And there's a couple times I know we punted out of the back end, and they had the ball in the 50, and they got no yards, kept the score at 14-3, gave us a chance to make it 14-10. So there was flashes of it in the first half. You're right, that 3rd and 12 play. I guess what's you know, frustrating at times with that is that later on they ran that play and it went for nothing. It lost yardage. Yeah. So it's that part of the consistency, you know, the situational football. Be aware, 3rd and long, here's their tendency, let's be all over it. So, you know, that you know, but those things happen now, Logs, right? I mean, every NFL game you watch, you see things happen, just like one game where they punted it to a guy and, you know, what, 8 seconds left in the half, and they ran it back for a touchdown. You know, it just happens. And, you know, but we've got to be smart. We've got to make good decisions. The jumping off side, you know, what to key, how we go about it. You know, those are things in critical heightened environments. You've got to make good decisions.
You know, you talk about situational football. The thing that maybe surprised me the most at the end of the half was Todd Bowles' decision to try to run the clock out. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you got a 14-3 lead. The opponent has the ball coming out the second half. You've got, I think they had at that point, 2 timeouts left. You guys had 2 or 3. I can't remember exactly how many. And he chooses to run the ball and then play field position, let his defense play. Kind of, I wouldn't call it very bold. You know, from a coach's standpoint, you use your timeout. And you end up getting the ball back, and you end up converting a touchdown in, what was it, 2 plays or something like that, something crazy. Were you surprised that he chose that route?
Well, you know, I just know our team and how we want to go about it. Todd knows his team, knows what the, you know, in the position they're in. You know, so he knows his team well and just felt like that was the best decision. For us, we felt like, you know, we did get the ball in the second half, but we talk about being bold and being aggressive, and we want that mindset with our offense. And it was a good opportunity for us.
When do you know when and when not to use the timeouts in that situation? A lot of people say, well, why didn't you use one after first down? Well, that's very presumptuous, assuming that they're just going to try to run the clock out.
Right. I you know, there's we go through it before the game and through the week. We go through different situations and how we would handle it. Sometimes those situations present themselves in a game. Other times they don't. But we usually have had some communication about it and up in the box, and we talk it through prior to the series when the defense was on the field. We were talking about when we'd use the timeout. So you look ahead and kind of have an idea of the time you'd have remaining and then try to use good judgment.
This week at practice, you know, I know over the last couple weeks you talked about how this team has been incredibly focused. Seeing the same thing this week?
Yeah, very much so. You know, the difference was we came out Wednesday and went no pads. And, you know, really wanted to challenge our guys to go out there and have a highly, highly competitive practice. But it was a physical game that we went through, and just felt like with the situation we're in right now, to go out there, how competitive a practice are we going to get? And it was extremely competitive. Same format, one-on-ones, offensive line versus defensive line. And, how you know, you think, how competitive can you get with no pads on? But we're seeing our guys stay on their feet, be smart in how they challenge one another, and, you know, they're maturing in front of our eyes.
The other thing that I was very happy to see after the game, minimal injuries. I know Zane Beadles ended up having a knee in the game, was able to put a knee brace on, finish the ball game. Dan Scuda did not, with a groin injury. But minimal injuries in that game. It looks like you're going to have an opportunity to be healthy once again this week, to where you can make decisions on game day based on game plan.
Yeah, I think, you know, give credit to our strength and conditioning staff, Milo and Scott Drulock and the training staff. They've done an outstanding job getting our guys back, and most of all, give credit to our players for taking care of their bodies. I think we look back, we kind of changed our format a little bit in training camp. I think the players appreciate that, and it's been beneficial. Although sometimes injuries are, they come up. Even though you're prepared and have the great training staff, they happen. But we've been fortunate in that aspect to get a lot of guys back healthy. And you're right, some tough decisions to make.
The injury to Dan Scuda, who wasn't able to finish the game, it's a position group that you're not particularly deep at. You've got some very young players. In fact, one of them you just acquired a few weeks back. How is Scuda doing, and does he have a chance to play this week?
Yeah, he keeps progressing. You know, I think every day he feels better. So, it's one of those decisions that it might be up until game time. And, we'll see how he moves. Like I said, each day he feels better. We'll take a look at him tomorrow.
How about Hernsey? I mean, tough guy. I mean, heck, it seems like he's been on the injury report all year long, but he seems to keep on playing and playing well.
Well, there's two guys that you're talking about that are extremely mentally tough guys. You know, and an injury, if they've got a chance, they're going to try to fight through it and find a way to play. But we've got to be smart and make sure that they're healthy and they can play at 100%. So, probably the same position. Take a look at them again tomorrow. Might be a game-time decision.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. And this segment's been brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. We'll open up some phone lines for those that would like to call in. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351. Take your phone calls, and then after that, we'll move on and talk about the Baltimore Ravens right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
You can join Gus Bradley at the 6th Annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1 mile fun run on November 21st. See Jackson DeVille, the Roar, and enjoy a post-run party with live music and games. Participants can watch themselves cross the finish line on the world's largest video board. The run benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their potential. To register, visit McKenziesRun.org. And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, and we're going to take some of your phone calls. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351. Let's go talk to Michael in Orlando. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening. How are y'all tonight?
Good. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Gus. I'm ecstatic to be talking to you, man. And it's been such an exciting season for me down here. I feel like you guys are so, so close, and it's been really, really cool to watch the team develop.
Well, I appreciate that. And Orlando, man, Blake Bortles, I know you're excited about having one of your own up here and so close and to get a chance to see him play.
You have no idea. I've been up to 3 games. I was in Tampa as well, so it's been fun watching, and I can't wait to come on Thursday too.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Definitely. So I just wanted to ask you really quick, what young guys are going to get some opportunities this Baltimore game that you're really excited about?
Wow. Young guys like rookies or second-year players?
Well, Marquise Lee comes to my mind.
It's such a young team. But
right.
Some opportunities you're really excited to see happen next game.
Well, Marquise Lee is a guy that is getting some limited reps in practice. We'll see how he develops through the week. But, as far as young guys, it's continue the growth of like guys like T.J. Yeldon and A.J. Cann and Allen Robinson and on defense, Aaron Colvin. Very pleased with the progress he's making. So, Jonathan Cyprian, had a good game last
week.
Played
really well.
Yeah, he really did. And so, I think all those guys, their development that you're seeing, they appear to be playing with more ownership, both on offense and defense. And, they'll continue to get more reps.
To go back to Marquise Lee for a minute, he said there's a chance that he goes up. And he was active for 2 games earlier this year. And I know I've been reading John Harbaugh's press conferences and listening to his press conferences, and he's flat out saying we expect to see Marquise Lee. He's a guy that we loved when he was coming out, and they're preparing for him as if he's going to play.
Yeah, we're trying to be smart with Marquise. There was a time when we held him out to try to get as healthy as he can and just bring him back and let him gain confidence. And I give a lot of credit to Marquise these last 3 or 4 weeks, just how he's handled it, the maturity level. Not only, you see it on the field, some things we're seeing, but just overall handling the situation. Very pleased with his progress. And hopefully he can just stack up some of these practices where he gets more and more reps and which gets him closer on the field.
How hard is it to not get as a coach to not get frustrated with a guy like Marquise Lee. He's got a legitimate injury. I know that you guys have talked about, hey, look, the MRI is showing that he clearly has an injury. But is it difficult sometimes as a coach to have patience?
Well, I think, yeah, it's always hard to have patience. But I think the big thing with Marquise, what I see, is when a guy is competing, as hard as he's competing to get back on the field, I'm good with it. And he can only do so much. And, you know, he's trying to take advantage of everything. He's listening to trainers, our strength coach. He's going through all the proper protocol for what we're asking him to do. And when we do ask him to run and cut and change direction, he's doing that. So, yeah, you want to. He wants to be out there, just like all of us. But I think as long as you see that competitive spirit like he's showing, that's a good sign.
Well, and you end up could having Rashad Greene back next week. He's on the IR designated to return. He's a guy that could come back into the fold next week. I know you had an issue with punt return, Nick Marshall on the fumble, or I guess you could say the muffed punt. And he's a guy that handled that role prior to his injury.
Yeah, Rashad's another guy that, you know, hopefully we do get back, and, you know, we'll see him next week. And he's getting some practice reps now. And just to see some of his suddenness, you know, the same things that we saw in training camp. So he's a special guy like that. He's got certain traits that you always look for in receivers and, you know, and also on special teams.
All right, well, Michael, we appreciate the call. Now let's go talk to Coleman, who is in Arlington. Good evening, Coleman.
Good evening. Gus, I just want to say you've done a great job. I believe in the team. I believe in you guys. Sometimes it seems like some of the play calling is a little conservative, maybe because there's so much focus. After the game, do you guys go back to look to see sometimes if there's a little bit too much focus, a little bit too much conservative play calling?
It's a good question as far as going back. Yeah, we do. We go back and analyze the situations. Logs, you and I have talked about certain situations that take place in a game. And, you know, is there times to take shots? Is there times to be more bold? And, yeah, you're always looking for those. And sometimes, you know, you see a conservative play or a run play or a certain style of pass. And sometimes that's used to set up other things. And, you know, so if you just take shots all the time, every play, you know, teams will play you for that. So there's a philosophy in it that takes place to give you times when those shots do occur that you can take advantage of it. And sometimes there's a little bit of play calling that takes place prior to set things up.
I love great play calls, ones that work. I mean, that's how you evaluate it, right? I mean, some calls could be the worst call in the world. As a defensive coach, you go into a game and you say, if they have this play, here's what we want to be in as a defense. And you're in it, and they run it, and it still works sometimes.
Right. You know, and I think sometimes as an offense, too, you go back and you look and you say, well, maybe we should have did this on third down instead of attacked him this way. But you rarely talk about the ones that work. You know, you always are attacking the ones that didn't work and what could you have done differently, similar to people that are watching it on TV. So, you know, we just have more time and our whole focus is designed on that. So you're constantly looking for ways to utilize guys' skill set to set up plays because explosive plays are important. They're an important part of the game. We try to get them on offense. We try to stop them from happening on defense because when you get explosive plays within a drive, the percentage of scoring goes up.
And you guys are producing explosive plays this year, in the third year, at a rate that you haven't seen in the first two.
Right. And I think, you know, offensively, what I think we had 12 or 13 explosive plays, the most we've had thus far. And that's a good sign. And sometimes the last thing, or one of the last things that you see in an offense where it comes around is that red zone. You know, and we've been consistent at times, and then again, other in games, I should say, where we've scored, you know, 3 for 3 in the red zone, then other times when we haven't done as well. That consistency, once we cross the 50, I think is really what an area that we need to work on.
The red zone, when you look at that, the number that you focus in on, is it the red zone that the league puts out in their statistics every week, which is touchdown percentage in the red zone? Is that the big number?
Yeah, I think you look at the end of the game and how many red zone opportunities, you know, where you're 0-for-2, 0-for-3, coming away with points. And you know, this week it would have been nice, the number of times that we started on the 40 at 1st and 10 going in, we had 3 opportunities and we came away with no points. But the general philosophy is trying to, instead of coming away with three, to come away with a touchdown. But, you know, and those three opportunities have been nice just to come away with something.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we can take some of your calls after the break. 1-800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351, and we'll do that right on the other side of this break here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Let's just jump right to the phone lines and bring up Lou from the West Side this evening. Good evening, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Lou, how you doing?
Doing well. I just wanted to say, Coach, I know that there's been talk, even on the local station, but in the media, that you may be on the hot seat. But I want to say, you know, even though it doesn't seem like we've got a winning record, I see improvements that this team is making every week. And I want to say at least one thing, and that is tell Coach Olsen thank you, because I was so tired at the end of last year and previous years with that stupid bubble screen, that he has gotten this team throwing the ball vertically down the field, and it's I feel like we make a difference now when the offense is on the field.
Well, okay, Lou, I appreciate those comments. You're right. I think it is we're pleased with a lot of the progress that we're seeing. Like I said in the press conference on Monday, a lot of great signs from this team. But unfortunately, you know, we've got to come away with some wins here. And that comes with this opportunity starting on Sunday. But you're right. You try to not get caught up too much in it, because you look at these guys and you see progress being made with some of these young players. And we talk about, we're trying to find a way to get these guys to mature in a fast fashion, get guys that are in their second and first year and have them play like they're in their sixth year. And we're seeing that. But it's all about consistency, and from the first play all the way through the last.
All right, speaking of bubble screen and Greg Olsen, okay, that one bubble screen that Mercedes was trying to get out in front, and you know the one I'm talking about? I had to bring it up for Lou. Because you guys did run a bubble screen, but it didn't have success in that game.
Yeah, a spot screen. Yeah, you're right. There's, sometimes with the way the defense is playing, you try to get it out the perimeter the way they load the box up. And, you know, that's part of the game. And, you know, that's one of the questions before, right? Do you ever go back and look at it and say, you know what, there's things that we can do. We can tighten that up. We can, do a better job of chipping before we work up the second level. And, we can still make this an effective play. We just got to do things a little bit different and execute a little bit better. And there's plays like that happen throughout the game.
I was listening to Blake Bortles' press conference this week. He had a very interesting quote when he was talking about finding chemistry with Marquise Lee. And how was it that with so little practice time with Marquise Lee in the past, how they've been able to find chemistry very quickly? And Blake stated that because Marquise gets such great separation, it's easy to find chemistry when there's great separation. With Julius Thomas as a tight end, and as a guy that I think doesn't get great separation because he's a tight end, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, very similar to Julius, they don't get great separation, but the trust is harder to get because that separation is not as great. Is that what the case is with the two of them?
Well, I think sometimes, too, you look at the route styles that you're getting. You know, you're seeing more intermediate pass game, not the deep post or the deep dig. Like you are with some of the receivers. So with that, it's that the separation that you're talking about might not be as evident. But it requires more timing, accuracy. It's precision by Julius in the route running and reading the coverage on the run. So there's a lot of things that go into it when you're talking about that intermediate pass game. And that's the area that we're saying, you know what, timing is so important in that area. And that's the timing that needs to take place between Julius and Blake.
How disappointing is it that bye week, you got a great opportunity to maybe work on some of those things in years past, but with the collective bargaining agreement, you can't?
Well, you can still do some things, where they can work on their own and do that. But, I think it's a big part of it is just Julius with his hand and just getting back his wind and getting back to complete health. And I've just seen a little bit different Julius Thomas this week. I think he feels better about where he's at injury-wise. I think he feels closer to 100%. Always a great attitude. But when you're completely healthy or close to it, you just have a little bit different spirit in you. And that's what we've seen this week in Julius.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll take a few more phone calls, 1-800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. And we'll also talk a little Baltimore Ravens right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Lagerman alongside the head coach, Baltimore Ravens, on the schedule this week. Trip to M&T Bank Stadium in the Charm City, I think is what it's called. All I know is that I call it Crab City because they have the best eat crabs in the world. You a crab guy?
Yeah, I do like crab, but you know how it is on trips. You don't get a chance. We fly in, and right away we get prepared for the meetings, and we don't leave the hotel much.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines and bring up Lottie this morning from Julian. This evening. Did I say this morning? Wow. From Julian Creek. I'm thinking Sunrise, Julian Creek, catching fish. Sorry about that, Lottie.
Yes.
Lottie, how you doing?
Hey, Coach. First of all, congratulations. The Jaguars really becoming better and better, and we're just being patient here as the season's getting older. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, Lottie. I know the fans have been great, and they're very passionate and should be. And you know, it's good. Like I said, we're seeing improvement, but we want more. Not only for you know, this organization, this team, but for our fans because they're so deserving.
I appreciate
it. Coach, I actually met you 3 years ago at the airport. I'm that Filipino woman.
Oh, yeah.
I said hi to you.
Yeah. I do remember. Yes.
Okay. Well, the reason for my call, too, is to wish you luck again. And, of course, I'm just so proud. On Sunday, my son will be an on-field physician for the Ravens and Jaguars game. He's actually an emergency department of Georgetown University.
Oh, wow. You must be very proud of him.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, you know, the boys will, you know, will go home whole, come back whole and safe and would not be needing any emergency thing. But my son just told me, Mom, would you believe this? I will be an on-field physician for the Jaguars and Ravens game. So I thought, oh, my God, this is one opportunity. I want to wish you luck and just to share my pride and of all, you know, teams. It's a Jaguars, so that's really cool.
Well, you should have every reason to be proud of him. So I'm sure it will be an exciting time for him. I know he's looking forward to it, and you should as well.
Yeah, and Lottie, you got to ask him a question. Will he wear a Jaguars T-shirt under his uniform?
I will send you the message, but he's got some few Jaguars T-shirts, you know, when he moved to D.C.
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations, Lottie.
Yeah, his wife's family is like 20 years season ticket holders of the Jaguars, too. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lottie. Appreciate the call, and let's go ahead and talk to John on the south side. Good evening, John.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Coach.
Hi, John. How you doing?
John.
I'm good. Something I've kind of noticed, and I haven't really heard anybody else talking about it, up until the last two games, maybe three games, have we even been able to field the same players on the field at the same time after time, due to injury, even back to OTAs. Now that they're able to play together and get together, do you think that we're going to be able to play more like a team than a bunch of individuals out there running around?
Well, I think when you talk about play more like a team, you're talking about just like we were talking about with Julius, you know, that timing to where they look like a well-oiled machine. And that's what practice is all about. You're right. We do have pretty good health for our team at this stage. And when you can do that and have guys out there in practice, all those aspects to where it appears like a closer, well-oiled machine, you know, has a better chance of taking place. And that's why I like the style of our practice. You know, at times we had to walk through and take the helmets off because of the injuries and make sure guys were able to play on Sunday. Now it's very competitive practices, very challenging practices, and hopefully, you know, the result of that is more consistency.
Well, one of the areas, and thank you, by the way, John, for the call, one of the areas that hasn't been consistent week in and week out for you guys is the secondary. You've had some injuries at safety. You've had some mixing and matching going on at the lineup at the corner spot. Are you starting to feel settled there? Because, you know, you look at your statistically as a defense, third down percentage is an area you want to improve on. Takeaways and interceptions by the defensive backs is an area you want to improve on. Are you starting to see progress in that area?
Well, I'm seeing tighter coverage, you know, and that's a big part of what we do and the style of the way we play defense. We had opportunities for, you know, an interception, a fumble recovery, and, you know, we just didn't capture it. And so we're seeing those things take place on the field, but it's the finish part of it. But, yeah, you're right. The third down has been better the last couple of weeks, still not down to the percentage we want. You know, but it's improvement from where it was in the first half of the season. But we, you know, we've got to get off the field. And first and foremost, the way to get off the field is interceptions and fumbles, fumble recovery, so we give our offense a short field.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we will talk about the Baltimore Ravens right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, and this week the Baltimore Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. And you start with the Ravens offense because they have a Super Bowl MVP quarterback in Joe Flacco, who has been the consistent part of their offense. Obviously, they lost Steve Smith 2 weeks ago against the San Diego Chargers. What do you see out of this Ravens offense? Because Joe Flacco is now on his fourth offensive coordinator in his eight-year career. This year it is now Mark Trestman, the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, who is running the offense. Is it different?
It's a little different when you look at it. I think Mark Trestman's had some influence on it. Some of the same run game principles are still there. They're a heavy zone-orientated team, so that's in place. But, you know, sometimes with an offensive coordinator, you know, it can be challenging when you change as much as they have. I mean, one of the big parts is consistency with a team. But Joe's done a good job. He's so talented. And I think his poise, his experience that he has, and playing in big games, leads to some of their success. And they're doing a good job scoring points. They're just always short. Whether it's a high-scoring game, they fell behind, or they've lost by one possession. It's a, you know, it's 18, you know, the 13-point game, you know, in that range, and then it's still one possession. But they move the ball. He plays with good poise. He's got good awareness. It's just they've had some injuries at wide receiver. And Steve Smith accounted for a lot of their offense, so now they're going to have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, he was their leading wide receiver. The second leading wide receiver is actually a running back. And when you look at their offense and the poise that Joe Flacco has, I mean, that's why he's got the nickname Joe Cool. From watching the last game against the San Diego Chargers, they had an injury to Zuda, the center. And they had a guy by the name of John Urschel who slid over and played center. And the snaps weren't very good. And I thought that the poise or the coolness that Joe showed in that game, not letting affect his play, was pretty impressive.
Yeah, there was one time when they threw a flare to the back and he fumbled the snap for whatever reason. And you're right, that poise showed up there. He, you know, gathered himself and made a nice play, and they got some yards off of it. So, you know, he just has a really good awareness. He has a good feel for the offense. You know, it kind of became more of a passing offense. But I think over the bye week, they've talked about making a concerted effort to be more of a running team, or at least run at more times to try to set up for more explosive passing.
And that's with a guy that was here a few years ago, Justin Forsett, who had a breakout year last year, had over 1,200 yards rushing. And when I watch the film, it's not very often, Gus, that – I mean, I watch the tackles just because of that old defensive end mindset. But it's not very often that I watch guards. But Marshall Yanda, four-time Pro Bowler right guard, and even the left guard, which I got to look at my sheet here, Kelechi Uzomah. I love watching these two guys play. And when Uzomah is on his game, he might be better than Yanda at times.
Yeah, both really, really highly talented guards. Just like you'd hope, they got good size – good toughness, very physical, worked up to the second level really well. And, you know, with Zutai in there, it was a good, threesome right there with at left guard and center and right guard. And we know that. We experienced last year the style of play that they use and the toughness that they present.
Out of the wide receivers that are now left, which are, it's a young group, they made a trade for Chris Givens with the St. Louis Rams, and he is now starting to get on the floor. I think it's about his fourth game back. He's got six catches for 106 yards. Marlon Brown, a young player. Kamar Aiken, a young player who Blake Bortles actually threw to at University of Central Florida. What do you see out of the guys that are left?
Well, Aiken is a guy that I think they'd like to get the ball to. I think he's going to get more targets in our game. Givens, you know, he was at St. Louis when I was in Seattle, and he was always a guy that when he came in the game, look out, because he was a guy that they would take shots to. Really, really good speed. So that was a good acquisition for them, you know, as far as, you know, with, you know, when they did pick him up. So they're talented. It's, you know, you might not know their names like a Steve Smith, but, you know, they've got some traits that you look at when you watch tape. You can see that they're going to be very effective, and they do create some issues for us as a secondary.
The other guy that I'm sure Blake threw to a little bit at University of Central Florida, Breshad Perryman, who is their first-round draft pick, hurt his knee in the first day of training camp and has been unavailable. Big loss for them.
Yeah, whenever you have that first-round draft pick that you're counting on a position of need.
You know that very well.
Right, and he's not available, you know, that's challenging. But, you know, other guys step it up. It is the NFL, and with injuries, that's what you count on. You hope that you've developed guys and they get their opportunity and they shine, and that's really what they're counting on from this group.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show and more Ravens talk on the Gus Bradley Show right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And back on the Gus Bradley Show with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And this week, John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, has a special teams background. Their special teams coordinator, Jerry Rosberg, has been with him the entire time there.
North Dakota State guy.
Is he really?
Yep.
Football player?
Yep.
And you know him?
Yeah.
Same age,
no,
ballpark?
No, yeah, he played a lot, I think, back in the 70s, early 70s, but I think he's in the Hall of Fame there.
He's been involved in special teams coaching for a very long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been at Baltimore for quite a while. Does a really good job with their special teams units.
Now last year you guys tried to trick him a couple times, and it worked. You did a surprise onside kick, and you did a fake punt. Both of them worked. Do you expect anything maybe to come back your way this year?
Well, you always got to be alert. Every team, you know, they'll challenge you and they'll look at things that you're doing scheme-wise. And if they feel like there's a weakness there, you're cheating something, sure, you're always open for that. And, yeah, I think it's even heightened even more. And same thing for us. You know, I think we do the same thing. We look at teams and we feel like there's a chance we can steal a possession and it's there and it's consistent, then we try to go for it.
They have really good kickers. Their punter, Cook, is leading the league in gross average and net average, I think. And their kicker, Justin Tucker, has an incredibly strong leg. These two guys are top-notch.
Yeah, they really are. I think, you know, when you talk about teams with one-possession games, you know, I think going into our game on Sunday, the special teams is going to play a big part of it. You know, once they cross, you know, usually teams that you get to the 30, you're in field goal range. Well, it's different for them. I think he's got a, 67% chance he makes it with kicks or field goals over 50 yards. So extremely talented. That field position is going to be really key. And their punter had a couple 60-plus yarders, really changed the field position for them in games. So special teams, I think, is even heightened more this week.
Do they have, besides the punter and the kicker, do they have – a core guy that stands out, that is clearly the best special teams player that they have?
Well, they've got good special teams units, good coverage units. And, you know, some teams have those guys. But, you know, you're seeing now more is by committee. You know, guys that are two core. And because of all the different things, especially with Baltimore, with some of the injuries that they had. You know, now those guys that played special teams are playing a lot on offense, defense, and it takes some of their core guys. But, yeah, they've got some talented special teams players.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk about what used to be a vaunted Ravens defense right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. The Baltimore Ravens defense, Gus, for many years, going all the way back to Ray Lewis and the great players that they had there, have been one of the best in the National Football League. And with personnel through the years, it's changed a little bit. And this year it's certainly changed because Terrell Suggs in week one, who really I thought was their heart of that defense, ends up going down with an Achilles tear again. I think it's the second one. And he's lost for the entire season. How big of a loss is that to their defense?
Well, he's very talented. I mean, you're talking about a Pro Bowl player that puts pressure on the quarterback and does a good job versus the run. So, yeah, anytime you lose a key elite player like that, it has some effect. You're counting on guys to step up when they're, you know, they get their chance. And but it's part, we've had that, right? We've talked about when we lost Puz. It's that time, how quickly can you develop trust with a guy that's in there and get a feel for how he's going to play certain things. D-line, it might be a little bit different. You know, there's certain things that you look for him to do. But, yeah, he's a big part of him.
Suggs did such a great job. Even when if he wasn't getting a sack, he did a great job of pushing the pocket. You know, he's been right around double digits for his entire career. And Doomerville ended up setting the Ravens' single-season sack record last year. He had 17. But, boy, I mean, Terrell Suggs was a big reason for that. He had 12 sacks on his own, but he creates a lot of opportunities for others.
Yeah, and you know, he forced you to kind of change the protection scheme, you know, and how you're going to slide it to him and maybe help and chip off of him. So it creates other opportunities. So I just think that we're in no position to overlook any defensive line. You're right. They're talented. Guy had 17 sacks last year. Very good. And they got us with a lot of pressure last year. And so we got to be aware of it, their defensive line and the abilities they have.
And Elvis Doomerville, who last year had 17, this year he has 2.5 at the midway point. The guy that I thought played very well against you guys last year was the young player from Florida State, Timmy Jernigan. And he has his own set of skills.
He does. You know, good interior defensive lineman. Skill set wise, you know, tries to be a matchup problem for some of our offensive linemen. And, you know, very active.
Watching Daryl Smith on film, looks like he's still the Daryl Smith that many Jaguar fans watched for many years here in Jacksonville. He's a second-round pick going all the way back to 04 for the Jaguars. Am I seeing the right things? Because Daryl Smith looks like he might be their best player on defense.
Well, when you talk about their defense, you know, and you talk about their key guys, he's one of them. And he's playing very consistent. He's really a strong leader. I think with their other linebacker, CJ, you see him developing at a rapid pace. And I think a lot of it has to do with Daryl. So, yeah, very talented, very consistent, always in the right place at the right time.
Well, you talk about CJ Mosley. He was their first-round pick last year. Tim Jernigan was their second-round draft pick. CJ Mosley makes the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And one of the areas that even last year, it seemed to be part of the conversation, was the secondary of the Ravens. I know they got a safety who's hurt, a Florida guy, can't remember his name, escape me right now, but they've got Will Hill, another Florida guy, playing in the secondary. Will Hill the third, Kendrick Lewis, Ladarius Webb, and Jimmy Smith on the corners. And many view that as an area that is not playing well. What do you see?
Well, I see Jimmy Smith. I take a look at him, and I remember him coming out of the draft. And when I was in Seattle, we took a long look at him, and we're really intrigued by him. Great length, great speed, does a great job on vertical routes. So he really stands out. Webb, you know, is a guy that can play nickel, and when he moves into the nickel spot, challenging, you know, because he does a good job on the slot receivers. So they've got talent there now, and I think it's just a matter of trying to put that rush and cover together to try to affect the quarterback because they have very capable guys, very talented guys in that secondary that can make plays. And I think they're just looking at, hey, let's put this thing together. We know we're talented, and let's play as a team.
You know, as a head coach going to play in different places as a broadcaster, there are certainly places that we like because, you know, the broadcast position might be good. The environment is really good. You know, last week in New York, it's kind of neutral, you know, because of the stadium, you know, so they got change of colors for each team that plays there. But the Ravens seem to have a very strong fan base, a very strong following, a great stadium, in a stadium that can be incredibly loud at M&T Bank Stadium. Is that a challenge in and of itself?
Yeah, it is. Anytime you go on the road and you're playing in an environment like that, the crowd noise can be a factor. So I think it's for us, it's making sure that it's evident that we're on it, our communication, our signals, you know, offense and defense. And, you know, I know it'll be a little bit quieter for the defensive side. Offense will have some challenges. But that's just part of going on the road. Part of the reason why we play music at practice. You got to be able to adjust and quickly recover.
All right, last question for you as a coach. What has always been your favorite place to play, the most challenging?
The next one.
Good answer, Gus. Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk to everybody on the Gus Bradley Show. Same time, same place. Next week we're off. We got a Thursday night game against the Houston Texans. So then the following week, it's Thanksgiving. So we'll talk to everybody in 3 weeks right here on the Gus Bradley Show.